This is Tech Talk for Accountants Show, where we discuss the hottest topics, tools, apps, and trends in the accounting industry. This show is sponsored by Rush Tech Support, who is offering all listeners of the show a free IT audit so you can know whether or not your business is at risk of being hacked, having a data breach, or getting fined hundreds of thousands of dollars for non-compliance. You can schedule a free check at rushtech.online/podcast.
All righty. Welcome, everybody. Another episode of the Tech Talk for Accountants show. And I'm your host, Andrew Lassise with RightWorks, IT specializing in the accounting industry. And just a reminder, May 14th through 16th in Austin, Texas, I will be speaking, and some people care that Kevin O'Leary is going to be there. Darren Root's going to be there. Roman Kepchick. We have tons of people, all-star lineup. That's going to be in Austin, May 14th through 16th. Mr. Wonderful gets to share the stage with me. I'm sure he's very, very excited for the privilege that he gets for that. And but with us today, we have Adam Lean, who's a former accountant turned two-time entrepreneur who built, scaled, and sold two businesses. While helping other business owners, he realized his passion was teaching and providing tools to business owners to help them have successful businesses. So Adam, welcome to the show. Awesome to have you here. Tell us a bit about yourself.
Yeah, thanks, Andrew. I'm excited to be here as well. I'm excited that I also get to share a podcast with somebody who Mr. Wonderful is getting to share a stage with as well. It's exciting.
Lucky enough for him.
So my name is Adam. I'm the CEO of the CFO Project, and we train accountants to become outsourced CFOs and business advisors to their clients. And in a nutshell, I used to be an accountant. And honestly, Andrew, I just didn't like it. I wanted to help the business grow, not focus on recording the past. And so I started a business, and that business grew. I sold that business to one of my suppliers and realized and started helping other businesses in that same industry, and realized that I took for granted the fact that I understood the numbers. All these businesses out there in the industry that I had a business, they were struggling. Like the owner was an expert in what they, in their craft, but when it came to numbers and figuring out how to make a profit and how to grow their profit and cash flow, they were lost. And so I started helping them and realized this could be a opportunity to start an advisory company. And that's what I did. After I sold my business, it happened to be an e-commerce business. About 9 years ago, I started an outsourced CFO firm where I worked with business owners and helped them have a growing and successful business. And I got to 17 clients within the first year and a half. And I was at capacity. And I realized there's so much demand for this. Business owners need help. And so then fast forward a few years, I met my now business partner, and we merged our firms together. And then we started a training program where we'll train accountants on how to do exactly what I did, which is start an advisory service in a way that's efficient, meaning it takes less than 4 hours per month per client, and effective, meaning it gets results, and in a way that's profitable, meaning you could take on a ton of clients because you're only working 4 hours per month per client and charge anywhere from $1,500 to $5,000 a month per client. So that's what we do now.
And those numbers, it's not just an arbitrary like, hey, I took this course and now pay me more money. But on the business owner side, when you're providing those advisory services, and you know, CAS gets thrown around a lot these days for client advisory services, and that's essentially like what the CFO Project is teaching. But on the, you know, coming at it from not an accountant side, right? But my own accountant, he is someone that does advisory services and he charges accordingly. But I know a lot of people kind of get hung up, and I'm curious on your thoughts on this. A lot of people will get hung up just on that. Let's just call it in the middle. Let's just say $2,500. I can't charge my clients $2,500 more per month. That's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And I have my own thoughts on what that mental block is. I'm curious of your thoughts on, I can't charge my clients that much more money.
Yeah, it's a great question, because we get this all the time. We have to remind accountants that A, money price points are relative. $2,500 to you may seem a lot, whereas to another person, it may seem like nothing. The second thing we have to remember is that the people that we're going after, business owners, their business is not a hobby for them. Their business is the thing that puts food on their family's table. It has to work. And most businesses fail. We all know that. Most businesses fail. I mean, according to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, half of all businesses won't even make it to their fifth birthday. That's one out of every two. So a lot of businesses fail. And that's the thing that puts the food on their family's table. So if somebody that they trust, like an accountant, comes along and says, I can help you to not only not fail, but make way more money from your business and make it more of a valuable business, all of a sudden, $2,500 a month will seem like a drop in the bucket to these people who has to have their business work.
Yeah,
because what's the alternative? Their business fails. They have to go back and get a job. They look like a failure to their friends and family. Their ego's shot. Nobody wants to do that. And so if you come along and say $2,500 a month and I'll help you have a better business, they're paying $2,500 a lot. They're paying way more than that in payroll on a weekly basis, a daily basis, probably.
Yeah. And, you know, I think they'll look too much at the, well, that's a lot of money. And you're exactly right. It is relative, mm-hmm. right? Like, I remember a couple years ago, and it's weird how the universe works. I randomly had this thought in my head earlier today, and we have a consultant work with us every quarter to check our blind spots. Every time we come in, we're like, everything's running perfect. He's not going to help us uncover anything. This is going to be stupid. And then at the end, we're like, oh my gosh, how did we not see like how important this was? And I remember he came to us, and this is the random thought I had this morning. He came to us and he said, well, I'm going to do it for $33,000. And our revenue was $3.3 million. So like the way he derived at that number was 1% of our gross revenue, or what we were looking to achieve, tracking for 3.3 that year. Mm-hmm. And I was like, $33,000, like that's so much money. And he didn't hit on the value that he could provide. He just came at it $33,000 and just take it or leave it, and didn't position the value that he could have brought. And I was randomly thinking about that this morning. I was like, if he had just said, would you be willing to invest 1% at the chance to grow? Say we only grew 5% and you earned 5-1. Would that be worth it? I've seen businesses get 20x. It's only a 5%. You're getting 20x results. All of a sudden, $33,000 doesn't sound that bad when the guy's saying, totally, I can find $600,000 just sitting here that's in your blind spot. So your positioning is part of it. And so there is the piece of, you can't just say, well, $2,500 extra a month, I got you. I mean, for some people you can, because like you said, drop in the bucket and hey, whatever, if it doesn't work, I don't care. If it does work, cool. But, you know, not everybody is as willing to just to do that. So with the CFO project, do you guys discuss at all about the mindset, or is it really about getting the tools and the confidence to be able to do that?
Yeah, I mean, the mindset's huge. We actually just released a brand new training module that focuses on the mindset. But the mindset is huge in two ways. One, the accountant has to change their mindset in terms of how do I think about advisory services? Because up until now, most accountants are focused on transactional things, tax returns, bookkeeping, attestation, things like that, where it's a transaction. There's almost no emotional value assigned to it. The client needs X, Y, and Z done. The accountant does X, Y, Z, send a bill, and everybody's good. Well, the problem with that is that every accountant can offer the same thing. So in the minds of your clients, why would they pay you way more than when they could find 10 other people to do the exact same thing in the minds of their clients? They wouldn't, which means what accountants do are they offer commoditized services. So how do you break from that? We call that the accountant's trap. How do you break or escape the accountant's trap? Well, you need to offer something that's not seen as a commodity. And that is helping. One of the ways to do that is helping your clients have a better business by offering these advisory services. And then you could charge way more for that and you'll retain your clients longer. But to even do that, to even get an accountant to think that way, we have to change their mindset and show them that that you need to get out or at least lessen how much you rely on these tax or bookkeeping and accounting services and get into advisory services. The ones that embrace that fully and realize that I can do this, I can be somebody that my client can trust to guide them on having a growing successful business, then they make a lot of money in this profession because you're charging. I mean, think about it. You just need 10 clients a month at $2,000 a month to make 20 grand a month, which is, you know, $240,000 a year just for advisory, just with 10 clients, advisory clients, not to mention if you add on any accounting or tax, you know, services on top of that. But then the second thing in terms of the mindset that we've got to shift our accountants on is how to sell this service. Because you can't just go up to a business owner and say, I'm a CFO now, or I offer business advisory services, it's $2,500 a month. They're going to either say no, or they're going to ghost you. Because they don't have context as to what that is. Most business owners think a CFO, when they hear CFO, they think, well, you know, General Motors needs a CFO, not my $4 million construction company. Or they think of CFO as the head accountant, the numbers person. It's like, well, I don't need a CFO. I already have a bookkeeper or, you know, or a controller.
Right. Because everyone thinks that all accountants are the same. But it's like, right. Oh, you do taxes and books. And
that's
what an accountant does. It's like, well, I only do audit. And it's like, well, don't audit me. It's like, no, different. It's like,
totally.
What? The bookkeeper? It's like, you're all CPAs, right? And it's like, no, there's a bunch of different things.
Totally. Well, and then that's the thing. We got to change our mindset on how we approach prospects. We can't just go to the traditional way and say, I offer, you know, just like you do, I offer tax services. You can't just go up to somebody and say, I offer advisory or CFO services. They just won't get it. I tell people all the time, it's like, if we came out with a brand new brand of toothpaste, we don't have to convince people that they need toothpaste. Everybody knows they need toothpaste to brush their teeth. We just have to convince them they need our brand of toothpaste. Well, with CFO services, we have to convince people that they need CFO services in the first place, then convince them they need our CFO services. It's a tall order, but once you understand how to pitch this, position this service to business owners, once you get that, then the business owners will say, yes, and where do I sign? Because they need this service for what we just talked about earlier. Their business has to work. They need this service. And if you pitch it, business owners, the right way, which takes a mindset shift, because you can't pitch them the same way you do tax or bookkeeping.
Right.
Once you pitch it the right way, they'll sign on and they'll stay your client for years and years. My very first client 9 years ago is still my client to this day. We're actually meeting this Thursday for our monthly meeting. Because they love this service.
I mean, if you think about it, if there was a slot machine and every time you put $2,500 into it and got $5,000 back, would you stop
totally
doing it? Right?
Totally.
When you keep getting the returns and adding the value, plus business is something that as it's growing, it's compounding. So, I mean, when we grew 30% from year 2 to 3, it's a very different number than when we grew 30% 8 years later,
right?
From how much we had grown from then, compounding time over time. And a lot of business owners, it's the problems. I think you feel the same problems. They're just a larger scale, but the feelings that I felt, I remember year one in my company, I'm in my living room by myself. I kind of had a sales guy-ish. Funny enough, he still works with me today, but different story. I remember I was talking with a friend and they were partners and the one left. And I remember thinking, like, I can't imagine walking away from this company. I have 30 clients right now. I couldn't imagine not working with these 30 people. And today, I don't know the number, call it 25,000 clients from like our division now in Rightworks, but just on the tech for accountant side, all time 25,000. And I still feel the same way that I felt then. Because emotionally, we're tied to it the same way. Like the company's a ton bigger, and now we've got even more things with resources. But I think a lot of it really does come down to that emotional appeal. And, you know, from one business owner saying, because my own accountant is someone that does this very thing. And at first he was, hey, guy, I need you to do my taxes and my books because my last accountant charged me for them, but never did that. And that's a whole other story. But I came to him with, hey, I need you to do compliance stuff. And he's like, sure, I'll do your compliance stuff. And then we built the relationship. And then he started offering advisory services. And since I'm in the accountant space, like I knew what was coming, like the client advisory services, you know, a lot of people have been pitching it for years. So I knew when he sat down and said, well, we have this advisory and what I can do for you. Da, da, da. And I was like, of course. And I pay him now probably 10 times what I used to pay him. And I'm totally cool with that because he provides so much more value.
Totally.
TurboTax is garbage, blah, blah, blah. Well, you shouldn't lose clients to it then because it's a commoditized service. But there's no TurboTax CAS yet. I mean, ChatGPT is going to change a whole lot of things in the world, but where we're at right now.
Totally. Well, I think AI and ChatGPT will take a lot of the compliance and transactional stuff off accountants' plates. But one thing I don't think ever technology can replace is a human connection. Like you said, you built a relationship with your tax person, your accountant. People on to other people, and people will do what another person says as long as they feel good about that person. I mean, you know that saying, people don't care what you say. People remember how you made them feel. And if you can make your client feel special and that you could be their trusted guide, their confidant, if you have a relationship, they will agree to usually what you have to say.
Yeah, especially when you get a track record of success too, totally. Where you can point to this client that I worked with, I helped them grow their business exponentially over X period of time. And I can achieve these results for you because I see similarities in areas 1, 2, and 3. I believe we could be doing this and that. This is something that I offer. And so we talked about there's a different mindset to it and a different approach to it. So we can't just say, well, Uncle Sam says you have to do taxes, pick me because I'm the best.
Right.
It's not really a compelling offer. It's usually like, well, you live close to me or you're in my BNI group. Therefore, there's just inherent trust among the community. So how do we position ourselves as the advisor, and can we get new clients coming in? Kind of two-part question. Is this only for, I have clients already, let's take it to the next level, or can it be its own thing? How does it work in conjunction with the typical firm?
Yeah, so the typical firm that usually does one of three things. Either they'll add on advisory services and enhance their existing tax and bookkeeping services with these advisory services. Like you just said, most people get their accountant through, you know, they saw them in a BNI group or Googled them and they were close and they had some good reviews or whatnot. But there's really no other sophisticated way to get, because all tax and bookkeeping in the minds of your client is seen as equal. I mean, they all do the same thing, right? I mean, this is what an outsider thinks. But so the first of the three types of accounting firms that add advisory services will look like. The first is they'll enhance their existing tax or bookkeeping service with advisory services. So they'll separate themselves from all the other tax and bookkeepers out there by saying, I'm different because I'm going to record your past, but I'm going to also help you have a better future. So now all of a sudden you're not seen, you're not lumped in with all the other accountants out there. You're different. The second thing that we typically see is that an accountant will incorporate advisory services as an upsell. So they'll get bookkeeping clients or tax clients with the explicit goal of upselling them to an advisory service, because you're making way more money on the advisory service, but the bookkeeping and the tax may be low-hanging fruit. So you could take existing clients and use this approach, which is what most people do, and also go out and get new clients with this approach. The third method that we typically see is a tax accountant will say, I can't go through another tax season. And they'll sell their tax, the book of business, a book of tax clients, and they'll say, I'm going to offer advisory services only. I'm going to be a highly sought after advisor, and I'm going to have a boutique CFO or advisory firm. So those are the three sort of ways that you can incorporate advisory services. I mean, there's no one rule of thumb, whatever you want for your practice, just know that you're going to make way more money in less time by offering advisory services because you're charging for value. If you provide more value, you could charge more for it. And that's the beauty of this service. We also have to remember that our typical client is not a seasoned business person. Most people who start a business because they're an expert at a particular craft. So for example, somebody that starts a plumbing business got into business because they understand plumbing. Somebody that starts a dental practice is a dentist. They're not some seasoned business person thinking, oh, well, what business do I want to start this year? Oh, I'll start a dental practice. It doesn't work like that. So these people know usually nothing about numbers and financial strategy and business strategy. And so they know is that in order for me to have a better dental practice, I just need to be a better dentist. We all know that it really is not the way to grow a business. You have to generate consistent positive cash flow.
You're preaching the choir on my IT background. Totally. Go on. Yeah. Everything you're saying, I'm just like, okay, gosh, like I figured it out, man.
So think of the dentist. They think, well, if I just become a better dentist, then I'll have people come to me. And they all struggle. A lot of them struggle. Business owners, a lot of them struggle because they realize that they just have a job. They have a very stressful job where they get the worst of both worlds. They have a job without the steady paycheck, and they have all the responsibility without making a lot of money. And, and so they struggle. And so they need somebody that they can trust. And who in the most business owners' lives do they already trust with their numbers? It's their accountant. So why not also be the person that they can trust to grow their business, to not only just do the books, but also, and the taxes, but also to grow the business? Your clients, your existing clients will be elated that you're offering something like this. And then this will be a much easier way for you to go out and get new clients.
Yeah. The one-stop shop that's what everybody's looking for. Totally. And like you said, with the mindset that a lot of people come into business with, and this is my exact 10 years ago, exactly. I am better at IT than everybody that I worked with the exception of a handful of people. A company I was at had 500 employees, and I was one of, like, objectively speaking, like, we had KPIs and stuff, like, objectively one of the best ones. Wow. In the company. And so, therefore, in my mind, because I am so great at being a tech, I will go off on my own and people somehow will know that I am better than everybody else. Well, I'll put on my website, I'm better than everyone else.
Right.
Surely that's a compelling enough, like, no one else has ever thought. Could you imagine going to a website? It's like, I'm the medium guy.
Right. Well, look at the plumber that starts a plumbing business. How is that person supposed to distinguish between a good accountant and a bad one? How?
Exactly.
So they usually get clients, to your point, through, oh, well, this guy's in my B&I group, so I'm going to choose him. But what if that guy's the worst accountant ever?
That's
not how people decide. do what?
I said mine was.
Right. I mean, I had one too that was like that. It was terrible.
Oh. But yeah, no, like, and trust. And, you know, from someone that doesn't know accounting that well. And, you know, he was a fast talker. So I was like, hey, man, like, you know, the numbers in QuickBooks Online, like, I mean, I don't know. Aren't they supposed to kind of be close to each other? Like the bank number and the quick, aren't they kind of supposed to be close? And like all those transactions, aren't you supposed to like categorize them? He's like, oh, no, don't worry about that. Like, it's all good. And I was like, okay, he said it confidently enough, and then had someone else look at it, and they're like, was he in a bad car accident? Because that's only way I could explain what I'm looking at here. His words exactly. So I got a different one after that. But to your point, your clients don't know that you are better. And getting better at what you do is fantastic. And you can, you know, save more money in taxes, save your well-earned, but that's everybody's value proposition, right? Mm-hmm. No one's saying, I don't save you the most money on taxes, but I'm affordable, right? Like, that's never someone's position.
Right.
So we decommoditize and stop worrying about, well, let me check these boxes for you, get these compliance things done. And I do it with artisanal paper and with a wonderful quill pen, you know, like, distinguish yourself in a way that provides value. You say, give me $2,500 and I'll find $1 million in your business. Is that worth it? Yes, that's absolutely worth it. So we position ourselves not to be the commodity compliance person. That can be how they come in the door, or you sell that piece off and just focus on the high value things. But that was one of the realizations that I came into on my own business journey, was we were doing a lot of work that it was more than $0. And so I was like, well, we have to keep doing all of this because it's more than $0. The stuff over here is really profitable and great, and we love all these people, but there's other things here, and we're just going to keep filling this just terrible business. And this is sort of going off track, but I'll bring it back around. But this idea, it's called the McDonald's fallacy. And what you can do, Adam, what if I told you that only working 8 hours a day at a full-time job, I could earn you $36,000 per year? You're going to be a cashier at this place called McDonald's. Mm-hmm. Now, you would say, I'm not going to do that. I am more valuable than a cashier would be. Like, yes, that's $36,000, but it eats up so much of my time. I could do that in my own business and make more money. So when it's positioned that way, it's like, of course I wouldn't do that. But we have a client that comes along that wants the world, pays less than everybody else, adds more stress than everybody else. We're barely making any profit on it. We'd make more money at McDonald's than dealing with the stress from this client, but it's close enough to the core of what we do that we're like, well, we'll take that on, right? Like, someone comes to me for a landscape project. I'm like, no, I'm not a landscaper. I will throw away this business because it's not what I do. But someone comes to me and says, hey, my computer is broken, can you fix it? And it's like, we don't really do like break fix stuff. I mean, I can, but it's not really what we do. Like, I know how to do it. And you know, it's like, well, he's offering to pay us money, and that is more than zero, but we're taking on things that we don't want to do. And so shifting the focus, and you don't have to just cut out everything, although that is a strategy, but, you know, really focusing on the things where you thrive, you can provide value to your clients, and you decommoditize yourself. You're not going to get people leaving because you charge too much to help grow their business,
right?
Because it's not commoditized. And you're in that unique position of one of the most trusted people in any business owner's corner.
Totally.
Like my own accountant. I mean, you know, I didn't think this on the last one, but like every time I need something, it happens. He's opened my eyes to things that I was not aware of. Like, he showed me ERC before it was cool, when I actually qualified for it. And it was like, that was a great value from just him specifically knowing me, knowing my situation, and saying, here is something that's not making headlines, you know, 2020 or 21, but this is going to help you a lot. And, you know, it was like, I want to say it was like $150,000 in payroll credits for the people that we kept on. And we had declining, we did qualify. It wasn't like the, let me get you. Like we qualified for it.
Yeah.
And it was like, if he charges me anything less than $150,000, okay, and then minus taxes, if he charges less than $100,000, it's worth it.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's the thing that we really have to focus on when we're talking about value, is that it's not the price tag, it's not getting some boxes checked. And who better to help guide someone than the person that they trust the most, right?
Totally. Right. I mean, we also have to remember that we're providing so much, we're impacting our clients in a way that we don't even realize, because they're struggling. A lot of business owners are overwhelmed and they're stressed out and they're anxious and they're worried. And imagine how much peace of mind you can give somebody, your clients, and imagine how much impact, if you help your clients grow their business, grow their cash flow, imagine how much impact you'll have on your clients' families, their employees' families, the community. You're having an impact. Whereas accounting, although we know it's needed, we know accounting is needed, you could be the accountant for a failing business and still do your job perfectly, but your client still failed. Like you could be the accountant for the Titanic and you could be on the top deck, you know, recording what happened. You know, we're listing it 20 degrees now, 40 degrees now, 60 degrees now, and the Titanic still sunk. And you said, well, I did my job, that your client's still gone. But imagine if you can help not only record the past, but also be the person that helps your client stay afloat, then they'll love you and they'll retain you and you'll have a much bigger impact and your career will feel more fulfilling, at least in my opinion.
So how would somebody get started with going down the path of advisory services?
Yeah, that's a great question. The easy answer is go to my website, thecfoproject.com, and start taking some classes. We have some free training classes there. That's the easy answer. But in all seriousness, you need to actually understand what this is first, because there's really no one definition of it, client as CAS or client advisory or CFO or whatnot. We have a definition that we feel is appropriate. We feel that a CFO or business advisor or whatever term you choose to use, that person, they have one job, and their job is to help their clients have a growing and successful business. And successful is defined in two ways. One, however the client defines success. Some clients say, you know, for example, one business owner could say, a successful business to me is one where I only have to work 20 hours a week. Whereas another business owner says, a successful business for me is one where I have two locations now, I want to be at 10. That's a successful business. It really depends on the client. So we have to help our clients hit their definition of success. The second definition of success is what success means to us as financial people. A successful business is one that could generate consistent positive cash flow. That's it. Every business in the history of time would still be here today if they were able to generate consistent positive cash flow. Not more revenue, not more profit, cash flow. I mean, Uber has yet to make a profit,
but they're still here today after almost a decade because they have cash flow. Well, their cash flow is coming from investors, and most small and medium-sized businesses don't have that luxury. So where are you going to get cash flow? Well, you have to have better business. And so that's our job, is to help them get there. So that's our job of a CFO, is to help our clients have a growing, successful business. Now, we could do CFO services in one of two ways. We can offer a completely customized CFO engagement. So every client you take on, you're offering a different version of the same thing. That's typically called a fractional CFO. We actually recommend you do something different. We actually recommend that you sell a productized CFO service, meaning you do the exact same thing with every single client. Your clients won't know it's the same, but you will. The way you operate, all your processes, your team, everybody's operating, doing the same thing with every client. And we have a process called the One Clear Path, where you lead your clients through every single month, these six steps. And that way you can delegate parts of your team. You could scale. This is partly how we get our clients down to 4 hours per month per client, because we're efficient. We call it a productized CFO service because you're selling it like a product. You're providing the service like a product. Like Apple, when they manufacture an iPhone, they manufacture thousands of iPhones a day. It's scalable. You know, that's what we need to do. We need to provide the service in a way that's scalable, but also sell it as a service, meaning it's more valuable. That's how we could charge, you know, $1,500 to $5,000 for it. So that's a productized CFO service. So the answer to your question, the way to get started is to understand really what an advisory service is, and then get some training on three things: how to provide the service that gets results, because the service has to get results for your client, and two, how to get leads from existing clients that you have and new clients. And then third, how to convert those leads to a client engagement, a CFO service engagement that you're actually charging a significant amount of money every month. All three of those things are they sound simple, but they're not easy to do. And so you need training and coaching and experiences. That's exactly what we provide at the CFO Project.
And it's the things that they don't teach in school or at a trade. So the most important, the hardest parts of business, basically, those are the things that they don't really teach. And it's funny, my nephew's in high school, and he was taking a class in entrepreneurship. And I thought it was kind of funny how my view of entrepreneurship is just like the craziness. I mean, I eventually figured out like a system that worked and basically did what you said, like productized the service and got a very good process ironed down. Something that used to take us a week takes us hours, and consistently better results each time. Really, that nail it and scale it mentality. But the person teaching me entrepreneurship from a book, it's like, it's not exactly, I feel like it's so much about just like getting in the weeds and discovering that you're in way over your head and you have no idea what you're doing, and you thought it would be kind of easy, or at least not nearly as hard as it is. But totally. Once you get the training in it, and once you get, I'm sure after you get your first client in this, it becomes easier and easier.
Oh, totally. First client's always the hardest.
Yeah. And, you know, you have the case studies you can point to and, you know, get good at what you're doing, offer more value to your clients. And at the end of the day, that's what everyone's looking for. You have the human connection that's not going to get replaced from a copy paste chat GPT. And that's a whole other conversation as well. But having the connection and understanding your clients and knowing them. Like, I recall 2 years ago, my accountant called me. I was at a conference. He was like, "Hey, do this, this, that, that, that. It's going to save you $25,000 in taxes. Just do that, okay?" And it was like 30 minutes of work on my part, and I had to set up a couple things. And it was like, that phone call pays for him.
Totally.
right there. So that value piece is really something that we do. I mean, I feel like we hit on it a whole lot in this episode. And Adam, I want to be conscious of your time. So thecfoproject.com. And Adam, where can people find more about you?
Yeah, so thecfoproject.com, my email address is adam@thecfoproject.com. Feel free to email me. Check out LinkedIn. Just Google, or not Google, LinkedIn. Go to LinkedIn, search for Adam Lean, L-E-A-N. I would love to hear from anybody. We love talking and answering questions and just helping accountants figure out, is this even the right path for me?
Yeah. Well, great to have you on the show, Adam. And another plug for the Right Now conference, May 14th through 16th. We're recording in 2024 in Austin, Texas. Kevin O'Leary is going to be there. Alan Colton, Darren Root, Roman Kepchick, myself, tons of other really great speakers. It's going to be an incredible event. Be sure to check out rightworks.com/right now. And Adam, thank you so much for being on the show. It was great talking to you.
Thanks for having me. I enjoyed it.
Thank you for listening to the Tech Talk for Accountants show. Be sure to subscribe if you like the show. And remember, if you would like a complimentary IT audit of your business, go to rushtech.online/podcast to schedule a time with a certified technician who can look over your current IT systems and make recommendations on how to make sure you and your clients are safe.